Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
Good morning, Peace Church. Good to see you this morning. I'm just getting back from being gone for a good portion of the summer, so some of you might have no idea who I am. My name is Adam Barr. I'm the lead pastor here at Peace Church. Our family had a wonderful time of just being refreshed and renewed over this last summer, time to study, time to dig deeper in the Word of God, and also prepare for a new year of ministry. If you want to hear more about our summer, you can go back and watch the sermon from last week if you weren't here. This morning, we're continuing to listen to one of the most important sermons ever preached, a sermon preached by Jesus. And we've been unpacking that over the course of the summer. And we saw last week that Jesus kind of turns a corner here. Previously, Jesus had been speaking about the secret to a blessed life. This is what a blessed life looks like, Jesus was saying. And if you're in Christ, if you're a part of the kingdom of God, you can live this kind of blessed life. And we saw in many ways it's surprising how to walk that journey towards a life of blessing. Last week, as I said, we turned a corner and we see that Jesus is saying, look, this isn't just for you, right? This isn't just about you being blessed. This is about how you can now become a blessing in the world. And so last week we saw that Jesus said we need to be scattered like salt. This week we're going to see that he says we need to shine like the light. These two different metaphors, each are conveying kind of a similar heartbeat, but with distinction. In some ways, they're like two sides of the same coin. On one hand, salt, we saw last week, is called to be a preservative. And so we as Christians are called to preserve the good in a world gone wrong. How many of you know there are a lot of beautiful things out there in the world? We can see glimmers of grace everywhere. And yet it seems in this world, no matter how much good there is, that good can be infected. That good can be affected. Those good things can fall apart. We see it in relationships. We see it in institutions and in so many different places. We see that good things go wrong. They go off the tracks, right? And so we saw last week that we as Christians are called to preserve the good of God's world in a place that is confused. This week, we're seeing that a less defensive kind of thing. So versus preserving, now we're called to actively shine the light into the world so that people can find their way back to God. And we're going to look at that as we look at the text. So open your Bibles, if you would. We're in Matthew chapter 5. We're reading verses 14 through 16. You heard it right on the video. Since it's short, I'm going to read it one more time, and then we're going to pray. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Amen. As we read this text today, as we unpack this text, this is what we're going to take with us. Christians must provide vision to a blinded world. Would you say that with me? Christians must provide vision to a blinded world. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the truth of your word. Jesus, thank you that we can hear you speaking to us right here in this text today. Lord, it's sometimes hard to believe what you say about us. Lord, sometimes we fail to live into the truth that you've declared over us. But Lord, I pray today as we understand what it means to be called the light of the world, Lord, you would both give us a heart of compassion for the world, and Lord, you would compel us and motivate us to live into this calling that you have for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. So Christians must provide vision to a blinded world. We're going to actually follow a similar format that we did last week. We're going to look at, first of all, there's a calling that's issued for us in this text. And the calling that Jesus gives us is the calling to help people find their way in a dark world. Okay, this is the central calling that Jesus is giving us with this metaphor of light. Now, Jesus is operating clearly on a presupposition here. There's a presumption that you understand the world is a certain way. And Jesus is assuming that you understand that the world is a dark place, right? I mean, obviously, he wouldn't say go shine in the world if the world was already lit. The world has been darkened by sin. There is a spiritual darkness over people's lives. And this spiritual darkness is a reality everywhere we look. And as a result, people are unable to find their way into real life, into the life that God wants for them, into the life God intends for them, into the life God created them to experience. And so we see clues of this all over the place, right? You see the things that people want on display all the time. People want love, right? I mean, think about the themes that we see in our movies, right? That you hear in music. And what is it that you're seeing? You're seeing on display for everyone the things that people deeply desire, right? People want love. People want peace, right? People want acceptance. People want a community that's healthy where people are welcomed in, right? If you look around, you're going to see these things advertised in many different ways. People want to find satisfaction. People want to find nobility. People want to find purpose in life. Everywhere you look, you see these desires on display in the movies that we watch, in the television we watch, in the novels we read, in the music that we listen to, in the advertisements between the shows that we watch. There's all these different desires being expressed. How many of you know that God actually created us with those desires? God made us to desire those very things. But because of sin, people's eyes can't discover or find the path that leads them towards those things. They can't find the path. And in fact, because of sin, they just don't understand how serious sin really is. People in the world think of sin as just I broke a rule or something like that. But no, sin is deeper than that. Sin is also this condition that affects us so that we don't think clearly. We don't see the world the way that we should. Paul writes, and he speaks in his letter to the Ephesian church, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. I'm going to read that to you. And he's speaking to them to remind the Christian church how they're called to live differently than the world. Listen to what Paul says. He says, "Now I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do." That is those who are in the world, those who don't know Jesus. "And the futility of their minds." Think about that word futility. Futility means kind of like uselessness. It's just no use. It's like, I would like to run a marathon, but my desire is futile. It's not going to happen. I'm actually training a little bit right now to run a race. And so what I've learned is I have to go a little bit at a time, right? But it would be futile for me to go out and think I could win the world championship in a marathon. And what Paul is saying here is that people are living with these futile minds. Their minds cannot lead them ultimately to what they long for. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God. See, they can't get to that life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Now we read that and we say, Paul, that's a kind of a dark view of humanity. What Paul is saying is, look, this is just reality, that when you live apart from the grace of Jesus Christ, then you're stuck in this world of darkness. And over time, the more that you sin, the more that your heart becomes calloused. Anybody play guitar out there? I can remember when I got my first guitar, I was around 11 or 12. And I can remember when I first started playing that guitar, my fingertips were very sore. I mean, they would even bleed sometimes because I would play all the time. And in fact, from that time forward until right around the time I started working here at Peace, where I didn't have as much time to play the guitar, my fingers were like leather. Because over time, those sensitive fingertips developed calluses, right? So I couldn't even feel it when I pressed the strings anymore. And what Paul says is that when we live in the world, over time, we have a callus over our heart. We don't even know how seriously lost we are anymore. We can't see it. Now, that should cause us to have a great deal of compassion for our world. I mean, seriously, think about it for a second. When you know you've done something wrong, if you're a Christian this morning, when you know you've done something wrong, when you know you've messed up, when you know you've sinned, what do? Hopefully you know what to do, right? You can actually come before the God of the universe, the God whom you've wronged, and you can say to him, Father, please forgive me. And you can come into his presence and you can expect, rather than condemnation, you can expect to run into the arms of a loving father who says to you, I forgive you, I'm going to cleanse you, I'm going to heal you. Now think about living in a world without grace. Think about living in a world without redemption. Think about living in a world where you don't know what to do with the guilt that you carry. You don't know what to do with the sin that's in your soul. You don't know what to do with the woundedness that you experience as a human being. You don't know where to take that. And friends, the Bible says that the world is blinded to that. They don't know where to go. But the beautiful thing about this passage is it doesn't just reveal the reality of spiritual blindness, it also tells us what the remedy for that blindness is. And it's a surprising answer. Guess what the remedy for the blindness of this world is? It's us. Everyone, look at someone next to you and say, you're the remedy. Now, I know that's hard to believe, isn't it? But what Jesus tells us is that we are the light. He says in verse 14, you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill. Brothers and sisters, we are called to be the light that people encounter, and we cannot underestimate this. I'm going to just tell you something right now, that people who look around this world, some of the only ways that they're going to actually encounter Jesus Christ is going to be through your life. In fact, an increasing majority of people that you encounter might know nothing of Jesus unless they hear it from you. And Jesus says, we are the light of the world. I'll be honest with you, one of the most astounding things to me is the way that God has chosen to work his plan out in history. That God has chosen to allow us to fall into sin, that he came and shed his own blood that we might be saved, and then that he entrusted that message of salvation to us. He says, now you guys go, let other people know about this. That's like kind of like, you know, leaving the kids at home and saying, when we get back, we want the house to look sparkling clean. If you can remember, if you've ever had kids or you know what I'm talking about, you know that's sometimes a futile effort, right? Kids, make sure you do the dishes. And Jen and I go out on a date, you come home, and it's like piled high. No offense, kids, we love you. But sometimes, and yet God has said, Jesus has said that we are God's chosen method for shining the light. And he does more than that. Jesus helps us understand how we shine the light. Look at verse 16. He says, in the same way, let your light shine. Everyone say, let it shine. Let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. Listen, we cannot do anything to earn our salvation. Our good works don't reconcile us to God. But friends, if we've been truly reconciled to God, then we're going to do good works. And what Jesus is telling us in this text is that our good works, they are like points of light in a dark world. Anybody make it outside in the last few nights? The moon's been darker, and you walk out, and you look up in the night sky. We live out on Irving Road, so we're enough out of town that we can walk out into our backyard or front yard, and you look up, and you just see glory, the Milky Way. You see these beautiful bright stars, and they shine even brighter because of the dark sky. And friends, Paul says something like that about our good works. Listen to what he says in Philippians 2. This is from Philippians 2, 14 through 16. Paul says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life." Another translation says, "Among whom you shine as stars." Friends, our good works are meant to be shining examples of God's amazing grace. They are the way that we shine the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ in a dark world. Just like we saw last week, Jesus also gives us a warning. Last week we saw that we don't want to lose our saltiness. This week we see we don't want our light to be hidden. Look again at verse 14. Verse 15, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house." You might have a light, but if it doesn't shine, then it does no good. And what Jesus wants us to know is that we do not want the light that he's placed within us to be covered up, because then it does the world absolutely no good. Now, there are different ways, friends, that our lights can be dimmed, that a bushel basket can be put over our light. One of the most fundamental ways is just through sin. Peter talks about our lives, and he says, don't live a life like the world out there. And he lists several qualities like steadfastness and godliness and affection. This is from 2 Peter 1, 5 through 9. Listen to what he says. "If these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful." You might say, if in Jesus terms, they keep your light shining. They keep you from having your light covered up. He says, "They keep you from being unfruitful in your knowledge of Jesus Christ." And he says, "For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins." Friends, what is it to put our light under a basket? One of the things it is to allow sin to come between us and the Lord. And it's interesting, Peter says that when we do that, it's like we're blind. Think about that. How sad. Christians who have been given the light to shine can themselves enter into seasons of blindness. That's why we can't allow ourselves to pile up a list of unconfessed sin in our lives. That's why we can't allow ourselves to wander from the Good Shepherd and forget who he is. Brothers and sisters, listen to me this morning. If you're living a life of compromise this morning, if you've been walking in a place of darkness and sin, if you've entered a place where your heart is hard to God, if you've entered into a place where you are not hungry for the things of God, let me just tell you something. You know what you need to do? Stop. Stop short. Stop right now. And say, "Lord, Father, please forgive me. Father, I don't want to live this way. Father, I don't want my light to be hidden under a basket." Brothers and sisters, our call to righteousness is not just a call to be good little boys and girls. The call to righteousness is a call to experience the love of the Father, to experience life in harmony with God. And when we live in a place of compromise and sin, Our light can't shine for the world because we're not experiencing the light of God in our own hearts. And listen, all that it takes to stop that downward slide is to pause and say, Father, I'm sorry, please renew me. How many of you know his grace is sufficient? Amen? That's good news this morning, isn't it? We don't have to worry about coming into his presence and finding condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. This morning, you can immediately be freed from any sin, from any chain, from any shackle, and take the first steps of true repentance. We don't want our light to be covered by our sin. I think there's another thing that sometimes can cover the light of Christ in our lives. And I think this is probably prevalent for a lot of us. And it's just simply good old-fashioned fear. Right? I mean, you know, the reality is a lot of adult life is just an extension of junior high and high school. Right? Isn't it? I mean, have you ever gone back to a class reunion and you're like, yeah, we all sort of just fit right back into those old roles again, right? In some ways. And sometimes it just blows your mind. And one of the staples of life is don't be different. Don't stand out. Don't get isolated. Don't be on your own. Don't take a risk. You might fall off. Right? This is the world that we live in. And sometimes we can be so afraid. And if you pay attention to the news today, you know what? Sometimes you look and you say there are reasons to be afraid. The church in America is getting ready. It's already begun. There are little ripples of it. But we're getting ready to get a glimmer of what the majority of church around the world and throughout history has experienced. That Christianity doesn't always make you popular. That sometimes people don't want to hear what you have to say. That sometimes you've got to suffer rejection for the sake of Jesus Christ. And I think as Christians, we can become fearful of that. In the Bible, one of the pictures that we get of this life where we live in this world and yet we have our citizenship in heaven, one of the pictures that Scripture gives us is the picture of exile. In fact, the children of Israel living in the southern kingdom of Judah at a certain point were defeated by the kingdom of Babylon. They were carried off into exile and they had to live in this foreign land. And in that foreign land, they had to make a decision. Are we going to let our light shine or are we going to conform to the world around us? The book of Daniel actually tells the story of four different Israelite guys and how they walked through this journey. How they went from being bigwigs in Jerusalem to now living in Babylon, and how they were assimilated into the culture of Babylon. I recently read an article that talked about how Babylon tried to assimilate these guys, and they talked about several different things. I just want to give you three. One, the very first thing that happens when you're being brought into another culture, and when you're standing up for the gospel, the very first thing you have to face is the reality of isolation. They took these boys, these young men, away from their families, and they isolated them in a foreign land. How many of you know it's easy to love Jesus and be a Christian when you're in church? Amen? It's easy. It's easy to love Jesus and be a witness when you're with your family, if your family's a believing family, right? That's easy. The question is what are you going to do when you're out in the world? Maybe at your workplace, maybe at your school. Young people, listen up. Listen up, young people. You're getting ready to go back to school, or maybe you've already gone back to school. Listen, you're going to face the pressure of isolation. You might not have other Christians around you. Are you going to shine your light? Adults, when you go out in the workplace, do you just cover that light up and act like everyone else around you when you're isolated? Isolation. Second thing that they would use was indoctrination. And so if you read the story of Daniel and his friends, you see that they're immediately brought into this training process. And this training process is made to help them think like Babylonians. And so they're educated in all the pagan mythology and the politics of Babylon. How many of you know we live in a world of indoctrination, right? I hope you realize this, that we're being indoctrinated every day. In fact, you're gonna drive out your parking lot and you're gonna drive by billboards and different things that in one way or another help us become part of the world around us. But we're also indoctrinated through the things we watch on television, through the different attitudes that are displayed in our world, through things we're explicitly taught in school, through maybe a human resources training seminar. I mean, there's just 1,000 different ways that our world is calling us to believe certain things. The final thing that Babylon would use, and that I think we see at work in our world today, is assimilation. So you have isolation, indoctrination, and assimilation. And assimilation, any Star Trek fans out there? You will be assimilated, the Borg. Okay, go home and look that up if you don't know what I'm talking about. Assimilation is when you've been made fully a part of this culture, where your distinct identity has been worn off and now you're another cog in the machine of this world system. And that was the ultimate goal of the Babylonian training program, was to take these men who were part of the covenant family of God and make them comfortable with living in Babylon and acting just like everybody else around them. And if they could do that, their light would be covered. And friends, I'm just going to tell you today, if you simply go with the flow, you will be assimilated. Your light will be covered. It takes an intentional effort. It takes an intentional desire to resist that, not to let our light be covered. And friends, if we let our light be covered, we miss our calling, because Christians must provide vision to a blinded world. Say it with me, would you? Christians must provide vision to a blinded world. Think about the picture that Jesus has painted, this picture of darkness. And friends, for us, we are the ones who are called to shine a light in that world. We can't let fear cause us to cover our light. So I want to just take a second. I want to apply this to our own hearts and then to us as a community, as a church, as Peace Church. First thing is, each of us, ask yourself a simple question. Do I have a light to shine? Do I know Jesus Christ? I'd love to talk with you about that if you want to know more about it after the service. For those of us who are Christians, we need to understand something. The light, we are not the source of the light that we're called to shine. We're not the source of that light. God is the source of that light. And so we need to ask ourselves a question. Are we maintaining a vital relationship with the Lord? Because that's where the light shines in our lives. That's where we are filled up with his presence so that we can shine out in the world. Listen to this. This is one of my favorite psalms in scripture. It's Psalm 36. And listen to how the psalmist describes his relationship with the Lord. He says, "How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights." Listen now. "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light." Does that describe your experience of God's presence in your life? God gives us to feast from his table. He lets us drink from his river of delights. Christians, I want to encourage you, if you don't grasp God that way, he wants to share his life with you that way, through the person and presence of the Holy Spirit, through the word of God. God wants us to be people who are ourselves experiencing what it means to be enlightened. When we open this book, I hope you've had the experience recently, you know, open this book and suddenly it's like you're thinking one way and then you see something in the Bible and you're like, oh my goodness, that's incredible. I love it when that happens. In fact, that's why I love being a preacher, because that happens to me literally every week. I'm forced to, at some point during the week, go, okay, I got to read the Bible and make sure I see something new. And I read it and I go, oh my goodness, I can't wait to tell you guys about this. That really is what happens with me every week. And friends, you are called to experience the same thing. The Christian life is much more than coming to a meeting on a Sunday morning. It's not less than that, but it's definitely more than that. It's stepping into the presence of the God who created this world and who has redeemed your life from the pit. And he wants to share his life with you through his word, through fellowship with him. And if you're not experiencing that as a Christian, he wants you to experience that. And I got to tell you something. You're not really going to be much of a light if you don't experience that. If you don't experience the delight of God's presence and the joy of his presence in your life, it's going to be hard for you to shine the light in the world. Because how many of you know that your average person isn't going to respond to an invitation to get up earlier on a Sunday morning and come to a meeting with strangers and sing songs they don't know? Right? They're not going to respond to that. They might respond to someone whose life is lit up with joy. They might respond to someone who, when they look at this, they say, you are different. And the only way that I know to experience that is by experiencing God himself. So ask yourself a question, Christian. Do I have a light to shine? Do I have a light to shine? I want to close down with this. Our calling together as a church. Peace Church, how many of you know we're better together? Amen? Amen? Yeah. We are. We're way better together. In fact, even though we're a church that's we all make mistakes and we all fall and we all stumble, we all sin. Some of us have our quirks. God's brought us together. And the reason that he's brought us together is, in the words of Jesus, so that we might be a city set on a hill. The image is of a wandering traveler who's in the wilderness looking for someplace safe to come. Peace Church, he wants us to be that place. And so I want to challenge you. I think it's important periodically to just say, we're going to shake things up a little bit. And as we move towards our fall launch in a couple weeks, Peace Church, I'm asking you to pray that God would let this fall be one for the record books. I'm just talking about letting us as a church shine for the culture around us, for the world around us, for Middleville, for Caledonia. There's so many different ways that we as a church can shine. You've already heard about some of them. Pastor Ryan in that video, and we saw the different programs. That was just our Sunday programming that you saw highlighted in that video. Isn't that amazing? I want to tell you, there are literally hundreds of people who have been working and who will be working to make that happen. Don't let their efforts go to waste. Amen? We have an incredible opportunity through the programming that takes place here at Peace Church to reach out to people around us. I've had a chance walking around the building as I've come back in and gotten back into the rhythm of things again. It was so fun. I came and I went down to the gymnasium. Has anybody seen the work that they're doing on the Bold Boys room down there? I love it. I walk in and our Bold Boys, who meet every Wednesday night, they do they don't call them crafts. What do they call them? Projects. Okay, thanks, guys. Yeah, the boys don't like to do crafts. They like to do projects. And that room was getting packed out, and I'm going to tell you what, it smelled pretty good, too, partway through a Wednesday night. But they've expanded the room out, and they've done all this work. And I just walking in, one of my first days back on site, I walked in, and I see these guys just volunteering, giving their life, giving their time to make this room look good. I got a chance on Wednesday night to go meet with a group of ladies from the Women's Connection Ministry. Let's give it up for Connection. Isn't that a great ministry? And I got to walk in and I see this like room full of women who have been studying on their own, who will be studying a lot throughout the year. And I think about just all the different places. It's dangerous to mention one thing because you're going to forget 50 others. But there's all these places, Peace Church, where people are working together to do one thing, to let the light of Jesus shine. And so I want to challenge you to help us make the light shine. Shine by serving. We shouldn't be, at this time of the summer, we shouldn't look in the bulletin and say, hey, we still need volunteers for X, Y, and Z. Amen? Come on now. If you're a part of Peace Church, if you call Peace Church your church, then there should be a place where you find yourself serving and integrating and being part of things through our programming and the things that are going on here. And inviting people to be part of that. I'm going to skip to the final one. This is the last thing I want to talk about. I believe that one of the most powerful ways that we as a church are called to be a light is through our growth group ministries. Now, if you've been part of our growth group ministries for a while, you know a few things. One, you know that we care about them. You know that they're important. But you also know that area of ministry has needed more attention and more leadership than any of us have been able to give it. And I'm excited. How many of you are excited that this July we were actually able to hire Pastor John Delger to be our pastor of community life? Who's excited by that? Amen? And the reason we have him here is so that our growth group ministry can really live into the vision that we've had for it for years. And that's that our growth groups would be ground zero for discipleship here at Peace Church. We want our growth groups to be more than off-campus Bible studies. Here's what I mean by that. Our growth groups are not just times to get around and talk about something. Our growth groups are meant to be places where we actually do it. So like you come to church on a Sunday morning and you hear a sermon about the Lord's Prayer. Your growth group shouldn't be a place where you just get together and talk about the Lord's Prayer. Your growth group should be a place where you pray together, right? Well, you hear a sermon about serving. Well, guess what? Your growth group should be a place where you serve and you look for the life of God. And this is one of the things that Pastor John's going to be working with our growth group leaders to do. And I'm beyond excited for this. I believe that Peace Church is meant to be a lighthouse in our area and in our region. And your growth group is meant to be a lighthouse into your community, into your connections. So ask yourself a question. Are we willing to shine? Will our growth group be more than a coffee and cake club? Are we going to get out in the community? I don't care what you do. I mean, go volunteer Degage as a group. Go help out Holy Family Food Pantry. Go on a mission trip. That'd be cool. Have a fundraiser for the PRC. Have a fundraising barbecue. I don't care what it is that you do. But as a growth group, my challenge to you this fall, especially if you're an existing growth group right now, my challenge to you is for you guys to have a conversation and ask yourselves, how are we going to let our light shine in our community? Peace Church, for just a second, think about what would happen if all the growth groups in our church, over 20, in one way or another, found a way to shine the light into our world. I think some people would give glory to our God, our Father in heaven. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you that your light lives in us. Lord, I pray that we would feel challenged, that we'd walk out of here. Lord, we're coming into the final week of summer and Labor Day weekend. But Lord, you have given us a mission. This church has a mission. It's to be salt and light. Lord, I pray that we would all embrace that mission, that we would shine a light in a dark world, and Lord, help people find their way home to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.